Dude, yeah. I had somebody that was like, you know, I need a website 24 hours, absolutely needs to get done, and price is not an object. I'm like, bullshit.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I said, you know what? I want a check, you know, cashier's check tomorrow, you know, $5,000. Yeah, yeah. Right. Otherwise, I'm not even going to start this.
I'm not even going to look at it.
Yeah. Do you think it came by with a $5,000?
No, hell no.
Fuck no.
You're listening to The Angry Designer, where we cut through the industry bull to help frustrated graphic designers survive and thrive.
Today, we are going to start off the new year with 1792. Mm. We're going to try this small batch bourbon whiskey that is named after the French Revolution. I believe there was a French Revolution here.
Oh, was that supposed to do that?
Oh, no, just that nice initial.
Oh, that pop.
That was a nice pop.
I thought
there
was something stuck in
there. No. Yeah. the cork. I'm glad we unstuck it. So let's rescue this bourbon.
Oh, yes.
And let's start off the year.
Look at it pour.
Look, that's a nice color, though.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Like, this is a pretty sexy.
Positive we've had this before.
Look at that. That's just beautiful. That's a nice looking. Like, that's pretty sexy.
It is. It's very sexy.
It's not like, you know, and it is bourbon, but it's not, you don't see bourbon like. Generally, it's more bourbon stuff seems to be a little bit more edgier, you know, where this is kind of like, it's just very minimal, very clean. I like that. I do like that. You're right.
Good. That's a good point. That is very nice.
Well, buddy, to a new year.
Happy New Year.
2024.
2024. 1792.
2024.
I thought we went back in time.
Mm-mm-mm. Ooh. Oh, see, that is nice. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a way to start the year. We should really catalog all these so we can remember this. Totally. That's a nice drink.
Pretty good.
Okay? Holy cow. Hmm. Yeah, it's a little hard going down, but just enough. Just not enough. Crazy. Yeah, not,
I think the next couple of sips probably is going to be.
That'll disappear, yeah, that'll be but gone. It's a little weak on the aftertaste.
It is, isn't
right?
It?
Like it's nice, the aroma, the smell, the taste, but then it quickly disappears. Mm-hmm. And then it reminds you while it's going down. No, I'm still here. I'm here. I don't mind a little bit more of a flavor afterwards, but just this one is, you know, this one's kind of got the, it's got number one and number three, but number two, it's kind of lacking.
It's a little lacking, yes.
One, two, three. Oh, yeah, right? We should start ranking these at least.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like the French Revolution, right? It's
the French Revolution.
Started out strong, wasn't so good in the middle, and then finished strong.
Well, my friend.
Hey, well, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to all the angry designers out there. This is kind of a fresh new year that we want to kind of jump in on. So
here
I do.
We go.
Fun and exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, I have no idea what this year's going to. What this year is going to bring us.
Oh, really?
Right. Like, I mean, again, there's so much craziness with, you know, all those amazing design trends that we, you know, get to look forward to.
Yes.
Right? There's so much of that coming down the pipeline. And then technology advancements are going kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of challenges this year for graphic designers, which I will be glad to talk about, you know, in the next coming weeks, right? This year is going to be both exciting and scary for a lot of people.
Totally. Yeah. That stuff you were showing me with that poster you did with,
oh my God,
the gorilla.
Isn't that scary?
Yeah. I was like, holy shit. That's pretty real right there.
There is. It is. You're right. It was just in case anybody wants to know. It's like, I found an amazing, you know, AI app and it's getting pretty advanced.
Yeah.
And I typed in poster, you know, a band poster for a fake event that we made and it created something with vector art and it was pretty fucking scary because
and it looked good.
It looked
just like
you know, the only thing is, you know, you really have no control over what it creates, right? And I think it's going to be a long time before you do.
Yes.
Because it was a roll of the dice. Like, we typed in the prompt, we hit, you know, enter, and it created something that looked fantastic.
Yeah.
But it was nothing. I mean, again, we couldn't have asked for that.
No,
we had no idea, right?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the thing. It's like, you think of how quickly it came up with that. It was something that you would mull over in your head for, you know, I don't know, a couple of days.
I think deeper about a lot of stuff, right? I know. I mean, I would probably think of the event more, you know, like that, this right. fake event that we created, right? Well, I'd probably go and figure out the art style we're going to use. Right. You know what I mean? There's a, the yeah. thought process where this, it just, it spat it out so damn quick. It did.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, good or bad, I mean, if you didn't like that look, if that's not what you were looking for, what are you going to do? You're going to have to hit refresh, and you yeah. might have to hit refresh 20 times, yeah. 30 times, 50 times.
Yeah, just to get it.
You know, and I don't know, like, I mean, you know, there's arguments for or against. Mm. Once they start figuring out how to actually manipulate the AI to give you what you want on an ongoing basis yeah. that can be on brand, you know, then I think that we have, we've got to step up our game.
Yes.
And figure out what that bigger picture is, right? Yeah. But, you know, there's lots to talk about out there, right?
This is true.
You know, and it always tends to start at the same place, mm-hmm. right? Starts with the project, and that project always starts with the customer.
Yes.
So I thought, why not, you know, what better way to start the year than, you know, like, let's cover our asses this year. Right. And let's talk about customers.
Okay. See everybody.
Yeah. Okay. We're done.
It's the whole, I don't want to talk about them.
It's the whole basis of this damn show. The show wouldn't exist if it isn't for customers.
Yeah, you're right. That's so
and
true.
Our, and our issues with them, right?
Yeah. You're right.
That's, no, but wow. I mean, you know, the one thing that, you know, over the holidays, I had somebody reach out and they had a bad experience and they didn't, you know, they said that they probably feel their experience with the customer would have been different had they vetted that customer early on.
Ah.
Right? And yeah. this is where it's like, wow, you know what? We, you know, we always talk about telltale signs and mm-hmm. we talk about, you know, what to add in the quote and this and that, but we've never really talked about vetting clients. Mm. You know, our approach for vetting, because we absolutely vet clients, mm-hmm. right? We vet every single client, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I always say the same thing, that it's like that first meeting with the client, you're interviewing them.
Just as much as, yes, as they are exactly. interviewing you. Yeah.
You're not obligated
no.
to take that
no.
job
no.
just because you showed up, yeah. just because you showed up to the meeting, you took the meeting, right? Even if it was an introduction, doesn't mean you have to do what they say and you have to take the job. You know, mm-hmm. we're like, okay, granted, we've had some pushy customers. Like, no. I really want you to work on our stuff. Like, no, we don't. No. But the reality is you don't have to take jobs. You know, often, you know, I think designers, sometimes they're anxious. They want the job.
Yep.
You know, they want the project. Maybe they want it for a portfolio piece. Maybe they just need the money. Like,
maybe there's some prestige in this client too. Like, right, you know, it could be a higher end kind of, you know, customer that you're
absolutely
courting.
Yeah. So it's like, it's, there's so many reasons, but you know, often we're going in, you know, all pie eyed thinking
yeah.
good.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But not really watching for, you know, the signs of bad or what you should be asking or yeah. just kind of like really vetting customers, yeah. right? And so that's what we're here to talk about mm-hmm. today. Figure, let's start the year off right. Let's start off on the right foot, mm-hmm. that how to vet customers, yeah. the processes that we go through, and then we kind of take it from there.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it's a good start.
This is anyway. Good. A cautionary tale, if you will.
We vet every single new prospect.
Yep.
Okay? Every single one. Now, we don't vet them the same. Mm-hmm. We don't vet them equally. You know, for example, if a customer is a referral, a direct referral from like an existing customer mm-hmm. or like even a family friend or whatever, right? We vet a lot differently than if somebody randomly,
right.
you know, that we meet or somebody reaches out to us on the website or mm-hmm. through social or through LinkedIn, you know, we vet very differently.
Yeah.
And I think people should, you know, take that seriously mm-hmm. because again, if it's a referral, okay. Yeah. Obviously there's more at stake, right? Because you don't want to piss off the person who gave you the referral, yes. which might be a customer, a family member, right? Right. You don't want them to regret that.
Yeah.
So what you're doing in this case is you're actually vetting that customer, you know, the potential prospect for fit, mm. right? To see if you can actually give them, you know, either help them with what your skills are
yeah.
or if you can refer them. Okay. But the thing is, because it was a referral, you're almost obligated to take that meeting anyway.
Yes.
Otherwise, you know, like that's your professional reputation at stake, right? Yeah. That's your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, you know, just because somebody refers somebody to you, it doesn't mean that they expect it to go through.
Right.
But it means that the person who referred you trusts you
yes.
enough that, you know, they're putting their reputation on the line to put you forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I've had people been referred to me
mm-hmm.
and I've passed them off.
Oh, you have?
100%. Mm. But I haven't been like, nope, sorry, this isn't a fit. Good luck. You know, see you later. It's not like that. It's like, you know, I'll if it's, especially if it's a referral from somebody that, you know, they already know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody trusted me enough with this referral, whether it's a friend or an acquaintance for them. So, you know, I heard the story. I vetted their project out. I vetted their needs out. Okay. And then when I realized it wasn't the right fit for us, right? I told them that plain and simple, right? Like many times, and this happens often with website projects, right?
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we definitely have our niche.
Yeah.
You know, we've got tech, we've got B2B tech, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in some even more niche fields. But I remember having a dentist company come, you know, great dental clinic, right? And they're like, yeah, we got this, you know, we're bringing this new concept to the area, blah, 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 and going on. And, you know, so-and-so referred me to you. And I was like, oh, yeah. And it was a legitimate referral and it was great. And I loved working with this woman. Mm-hmm. And I was like, listen, you know, I heard the story, heard the pitch. I was like, wow, you got a great thing going on. But unfortunately, our niche isn't this.
In that.
We can't help you, right? While I can gladly, you know, crank out a great project and our processes work the same for you as they do with everybody else, and the results will be great, right?
Right.
I don't have the industry expertise.
Right.
Right. And that is huge.
Right.
Right. I'm like, I don't know, you know, if there's, you know, rules and regulations, if there's laws, I don't know what works and what doesn't because I have no experience in this. So while I can on the front surface, I can deliver you something amazing. Mm-hmm. I can't guarantee that it's going to work the same as it does with my other customers.
Exactly.
I said, listen, I know this awesome, you know, this awesome friend of mine. She's got an agency as well. She has worked directly with dental studios.
Perfect.
You know, I feel much more comfortable making that recommendation because then maybe they'll know stuff that I vouch for. So I passed it along. Mm-hmm. Person was fucking like ecstatic.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? I understand what you said. I appreciate your honesty, you know, and even more so I appreciate the referral because now it's like, so, you know, and of course I just passed off a great lead to her, which she did a great job for.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm vetting for her. But the thing is ultimately in the end, now the person who recommended them to me, right, was like, they're not going to hesitate to keep recommending back because what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
We talked. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
He was honest.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, although he could do this, he could deliver.
Yeah.
He might not know this. So he gave me someone else with that industry expertise.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's perfect.
Right.
Exactly.
So I wasn't just going into this for the money. Yeah. Right. Because in this case, there was a professional reputation involved there.
And you could have fleeced him. You could have totally.
You could have
crammed on the weekend to figure out what the fuck a dentist office needs. Yeah. You know what I mean? But no, you'd rather pass that on to somebody who's had experience with it. And that's kind of the beauty of this sort of thing. That's paying it forward, right?
Absolutely.
So if he ever happens to know of a tech person that needs a website or something like that,
and exactly,
you know he's coming
and
to
that's
you.
Happened.
Like, wait a minute. Oh,
because,
yeah.
And that happened because then he had somebody in his
seat.
And this is how it's that full circle, right?
Wow.
Because if I would have been like, no, I can't help you. Sorry.
Yeah,
you know, good luck, whatever. He had somebody in his seat, and it was somebody who came from a tech company who needed help, and he referred. So I didn't even have to work with this guy, but because I gave him my time, I genuinely vetted his project, vetted him, listened to him, you know, made him feel like, you know, he was absolutely worthy and I wasn't above anything, right? In the end, like 6 months later, he passed me back a lead.
Wow.
So it's just, it happens, right?
Yeah.
And again, in this case, it's, you have your brand you have to take care of, your professional, you know, a reputation. And this is huge.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, in this case, you know, if it's a referral or anything like that, I'll always vet them, but for a very different reason.
Right.
Cold call. Well, that's different. That's, you know, we want to vet people.
Big time.
But it isn't always just because we're scared to get screwed.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what people got to remember, right? Of course, we do want to reduce that whole idea of not getting paid.
Yeah.
Because that sucks and nobody wants that. But there are other reasons, right? Just like I talked about this one, right? The experience fit, you know, might not actually be, you know, just because it's a cold call.
Mm-hmm.
I've had cold calls with other industries and I'm just like, you know what? I have nothing to offer you in this space. I'm sorry, right? But again, it just might not be, you know, lend itself to the experience that I have.
Right.
Okay. personality fit is massive.
Huge.
Okay. Because again, we got to a point, we were blessed and we got to a point where it's like, if we don't like to work with somebody because we know there's going to be a personality conflict, we can stop it right there.
Yeah.
You know, I remember turning down somebody. It was an email thread back and forth. And this woman's like, this is what I'm looking for. I need you to do this. And I was just like, whoa, are you asking? Yeah. Oh, no. And I went, and all of a sudden, just this is through an email conversation.
Oh, shit. You hadn't even met this person yet.
Didn't even meet. Right. Oh, and I was like, you know what? And sadly, she was in a referral, but she had heard of me through the network environment over at Communitech.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, shit.
And I was like, listen, I appreciate it, but I don't think this is the right fit. And this is all through threads, right? I'm like, we're pretty busy and we're pretty lucky and we know where our fit is and we're not. And then her response was like, well, I guess it must be nice to be able to pick and choose your customers. So right there, I was like, yeah, that was an absolutely right. Right. Yeah,
That is the right call.
It was a personality because obviously they didn't care about what we brought to the table.
Right.
They just wanted an order taker.
Yeah.
That's not us.
Yeah.
Right. And there was other companies best for that. So personality fit is massive because again, you're going to be spending a lot of time with these people.
Yep.
Ideally customers for life.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that personality fit is perfect.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, it changes everything.
It's like a marriage.
Yeah, it is like a marriage, come to think of it.
In a way, or being in a band or something like that. You're spending a lot of time with this person during the 40 hours a week, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's your biggest client, right? So, yeah, you want to make sure that the fit is good and you get along very well, right? You're at least on the same page. Sometimes,
absolutely.
Sometimes we have disagreements with our clients, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, right. Oh, clients, sorry, I thought you meant our spouses. Yeah.
Well, that too.
That happens all the time.
I'm very sorry, honey.
Oddly, networking opportunity, right? And this goes right back to that experience with that dental guy, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So although I couldn't vet, I vetted him and realized, my experience doesn't lend itself right to you.
Yeah.
I still talked to him about my company, our customers, what we provide, why we provide.
Oh.
And that turned into a networking opportunity because then he paid it forward, right?
Oh, so you see what I mean? So you did a bit of a sales pitch to this guy regardless of
100%.
Oh, that's cool.
Right. Well, and again, and that goes just being honest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was just like, listen, because I didn't want to be like, no, I don't like you. I don't want your job. Or no, or dental just, sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know anything about dental. That's it.
You know,
well, what do you know about?
I made sure that I ended that on a high note. I was like, look, I'm sure we could, but there's probably somebody better for you. Right. And I think I know the person.
Yeah.
Right. And then I explained, who we were, what we were. He was a smart guy. He wasn't just like, hey, I just want the best deal. Right. No, he was genuinely needed a good product for his practice.
Yeah.
And I referred it to him, but then he found somebody that was a good fit for us.
Right.
So again,
who knew the space?
It's a huge networking opportunity to vet people, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Because again, everything's a networking opportunity. Yeah, you meet a salesperson in a clothing store in the middle of a Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Technically, that's a networking opportunity.
Totally, yeah. Yeah.
Mind you, everybody always says I'm flirting with people. And I'm like, no, I'm just genuinely talking to people. Networking. Oh, shit. I guess another reason to vet customers, kind of like that whole in same vein as that networking opportunity, long-term business growth opportunities. Uh-huh. So, in that case, obviously that gentleman, that dude, he was a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
He had his dental practice.
Yep.
Right. I don't know where his future could have went, right? He could have ended up opening up some online dental tech practice that, formed, dentures from you online, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or anything can happen. So again, that vetting process, turned into that networking process, turns into future, job potential, future growth potential, because he was an owner, but, if he just worked for the company and then jumped and moved to another company, he could be like, hey, who was that guy I spoke to that had that agency that specialized in tech?
Yeah.
I'm in tech now,
I'm in med tech now, which is a huge, huge field nowadays.
Dude, right?
Yeah.
So this is what I mean by, it's kind of like, it's a bigger opportunity than just making sure you don't get screwed.
Yes.
Right? Because you always want to leave on a high note, right?
Yeah, big time.
And then last but not least, one of the biggest reasons besides, getting screwed for money, of course, for vetting customers is to be able to set boundaries
yeah.
and expectations. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're vetting a customer, you're talking to them, you're trying to make sure that, you know, you're both on the same page, this, that, this, that. Well, if all of a sudden you, you know, you forget that whole idea that, hey, guess what? My day stops at like 6 o'clock. Don't call me at 9 o'clock.
That's right. Right.
Or, you know, I'm not always going to be at your beck and call nights and weekends. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, a busy family life. I partake in, you know, sports and kids activities and yep. blah, blah, blah. Yep. You know, this is your opportunity, you know, more than anything else to make sure that you have a clear line for your expected.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because yep. again, and that's the time to do it.
Yep.
Right. Because if they're like, no, I'm paying you. I expect you to be at my beck. And there are people like that.
Yes.
We've had. Them
we have had that
very short clients, but yeah. we have had them so the reality is it's like that's your opportunity to mm-hmm. set a clear line and be like, listen, you know, I will. What do we tell customers? You know, we always say Monday to Friday, you pretty much have us.
You got us. Whatever you want.
Whatever you need, you call yep. even. And then I take it a step further and I'm like, listen, nights fine. If you need me during the week, that's fine, but weekends out of the
yeah,
question.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear from you in the weekend unless it's, hey, what's going on?
Yes. Or if it's the hugest emergency that is possible, which
marketing emergency,
we all know is kind of a joke, but we have done things on the weekend that, you know, for presentations on Mondays and things like that. Exceptions to the rule, right?
But and they really are exceptions because our customers,
and because our clients are awesome.
Yep.
They respect that.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. Right? As they should.
As they should.
But exactly. This is the opportunity to set that, to draw that line in the sand, right?
Yeah.
So again, if you can't do it after the contract signed,
no.
Because you're committed.
No.
And if after that contract signed, you back up or you're like, oh, by the way, I'm a lot more higher maintenance. They can see it that way, right?
Exactly.
They absolutely can. Yes. So make sure you use that vetting time to, you know, boundaries, you know, expectations. Let me know what you want and what time you expect me to be there for you.
So you lay that out in front, right off the bat with the
dude.
With
and you know what? It's not informal.
Yeah.
It's not, right? It's I'm very casual.
Yeah.
I just make sure that I talk through all these things, right?
Yeah.
And it's not that, hey, by the way, I don't work on weekends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's more like, okay, so what time do you use your business? What are your hours of working? Okay, right. So you're usually done by 6. That's great, because you know what? At 6 o'clock, man, I'm out doing kids stuff. Exactly. I don't have time for this. Yes. We're on the same page.
Yes.
Where if he's, you know, if that person was like, oh, dude, I'm working every night till midnight, this, that, then it's like,
red flag.
Exactly, right? So again, this is where it's your opportunity to, you know, and again, it doesn't have to be a checklist, you know?
Yeah,
unless that's your personality style.
But it's a mental note. You've made a mental note of that, of what this person's availability is.
Absolutely.
And if it's 24/7, then you know, hey, you know what? That's not for me. So this potentially might not be a great fit.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
That's good.
It's like my list of questions, you know, I usually break them up into, you know, questions about the project. And then questions about like their brand, their company, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously expectations. And then last but not least, their commitment level.
Oh.
Okay. So again, I do have, you know, buckets of information that I want to make sure that it's like, yes, no. Yes, no, all the way through, right? So obviously about the project, you know, you want to ask about the project. You know, why are they, you know, they're starting a practice, they need a website. Cool, why do you need a website? It's kind of a ridiculous question these days, but it's legit, right? Yeah. Why do you need a logo? Why do you need a new logo? What's the matter with your old logo? This is a new company, existing company, right? Yeah. So you start wanting to ask, you know, that the project. Yes. Okay, first and foremost, to make sure that it plays to your skills, right? And it plays into, you know, what you can deliver for them, right?
Yeah.
You need to find out what that deadline is regarding the project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, huge importance. And if there's a driving factor behind it.
Oh.
Okay. So what I mean by that is like, you know, is there a big trade show that's coming up in 2 weeks? Is this like a holy shit, you know, like, you know, I need this, you know, within 1 week. Otherwise it's pointless for me to even have it.
Right.
Like all these questions, right? Like what is the driving force for that timeline? And that's a really, really, really big one.
Big time.
Regarding the project, deliverables.
Yeah.
What exactly is it that you're looking for,
right?
I want to make sure that there's no surprises if I accept this moving forward,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
So is it just digital campaign? Is there going to be print? Are you going to spring this on, you know, you're going to tell me at the end of me creating a social media campaign that there's
a full-size trade show?
Right.
Wait, dude, that wasn't part of this.
right? So again, you know, you need to, again, in the question process, right? It's not like a checklist. Mm-hmm. This is just part of the conversation. Yeah. Wow, that's good. What trade show? Wow, that's a cool trade show.
Yep.
You know, oh, that's a huge event. Oh yeah, you guys are having a big sale. Okay, mm-hmm. I understand those deadlines. What's driving it? And I understand what exactly the deliverables are. Mm-hmm. But I have to start thinking in my head, do I really want to take this or not? Yeah. Can I quote this or not? All this, right?
Right.
And then of course, if there's a goal behind all of these, if it's to drive more sales, you know, then I need to think about this. If it's to, you know, get it to Las Vegas within 2 weeks, mm-hmm. okay, well, that changes things too. Maybe there's mm-hmm. a better way to go about it. The more variables, you know, I have, the better I can start formulating if the project itself is a good fit for me.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Then number two, because, you know, I'm a total brand dude. I love branding, you know, so much, right? I also start, you know, digging deeper to see how serious they are, right? To see how much they actually know about their space, or if they're just like, you know, hey, I just want the best price.
Buzzword, bingo.
You know, you give me the best deal, right? So it's like, you know, I always ask them, you know, I start digging in deeper about, you know, their brand. What makes you different?
Right.
Than your competitors? What makes your product better than your competitors, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, this works in two parts. You know, number one, the customer on the other end, if they actually give a shit, mm-hmm. they view this as interest. Mm. They're like, wow, he was really interested. He didn't just ask about the flyer I called him about.
Right.
He was asking about my company, my products, yep. my customers. And honestly, customers love that
stuff.
It's like a first date, right? Exactly. And people love
Tell
to
me
talk
about yourself.
Exactly, right? So, you know, you get the right Kardashian on the other side, then you'll end up hearing that all night long, and the next day, and the next week, and the next month. You just don't even exist there.
But
when it comes to a customer, they see that as interest, right? And then again, it lets you know, how much they actually know about that space. Mm-hmm. You know, can they actually answer those brand questions, mm-hmm. right? Then, of course, you know, you find out about their target market, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing. You ask them about their target market. You ask them who their customers are and what they know about their customers. Right. And if somebody replies, well, everybody's my customer, you know, anybody who's got money.
Yeah. Then nobody is.
They obviously don't know what the hell they're talking about. And that frustrates me because, you know, everybody knows. Somebody's like, I got a furniture company. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I got the cheapest furniture in town.
Yes.
Doesn't mean everybody's your customer.
That's right.
Just because everybody can afford you doesn't mean, you know, everybody's going to come to you.
That's right.
Because not everybody's looking for the best deal.
That's right.
Sometimes, you know, customers might think, they might live in some sort of, you know, disillusion, you know, thinking that everybody wants their product. But the reality is the smart ones know who their customers
That's
are.
That's right. Right. Exactly.
And again, that helps you out. That gives you an idea on how much they actually know about who they are, what they offer, and their customers. So that's a huge thing I always ask for.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, last but not least, I always ask what people's perception is of their customers. Their company.
Oh, wow.
This goes in the same line, right? Because it goes, if somebody's like, oh, people love it because they know we're the cheapest in the neighborhood. Okay.
Is that real? Yeah. Are you sure about that?
Because, you know, then you go, you know, you view their Google reviews or this or that. It's like shitty service, shitty quality. Yes. Well, that comes with shitty price, right?
That's right.
So again, this is that whole, you know, how realistic are people with, you know, how self-aware are they?
Yes.
Of their brand.
Okay? Interesting.
So I always go in about the brand.
Mm.
Expectations, like we just talked about.
Yeah.
Okay. I always ask, you know, if they've worked with a graphic designer before.
Oh.
Right? Have you ever done this? Have you ever hired this out? Why are you coming to me? Yeah. You know, why haven't you gone back? Right? What was that experience like? And I listen carefully for cues to see if it's like, you know, something great, but, you know, they moved away. They're now 4 hours away and, you know, I don't care if they're 4 hours away or not. They could still do this job. Totally. So why aren't you really working with them anymore?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the ideal situation, you know, that I like hearing is that I haven't really worked with anybody, you know, like directly. I haven't developed that relationship and trust. Okay, those are the signs you want.
Right.
Right. But someone saying, oh, they moved away or this or that. Well, guess what, dude? Yeah. Like, email doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right. So there's some cues there you want to be careful. I ask them. And again, I make sure I find out what their communication style is.
Okay.
Are you an email person?
Are you calling me every fucking
5 minutes? Okay. You know, do you expect me to come in person every time you want it? Dude, this is legitimate questions, right? So, you know, for our B2B space, you know, obviously a lot of our customers are way out of town. But the ones in town prior to COVID, they did the drop-ins. They wanted me to come visit them. They wanted to show off their fancy office, you know, and ultimately, I don't care how cool their office was. I love our skateboard-filled, you know, comic book-filled office. Yeah. And I'd rather not come out if I don't have to, right?
Yeah. And there's work to be done here, too. I mean, this is the thing. You know, you don't have a whole lot of time to be socializing and doing this kind of stuff, right?
Don't give me that.
But then there's the occasional drop-in that, you know, that you get here where you're just like,
oh my God, unbelievable. Hell, dude,
what are you doing here?
You can't just walk in. Again, big time expectations right there, right? Is I want to make sure I understand, you know, the best way to communicate with them.
Yes.
Okay. And then last but not least with the expectations, and this one's a funny one, right? I need to understand, do they understand the difference between a fixed price or a ballpark?
Okay.
Because often they're like, no, I only want to pay this price. Okay, no problem, right? But that means I'm only going to give you this much, project,
right?
And that's it, not a little bit more. Do they want a hard price? Because it worries me sometimes if they're just looking for a concrete price, they're shopping it around.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
But if they're willing to understand what a ballpark is, right? Mm-hmm. Ballpark is that customer that you want because it makes them understand that this could grow based on the needs. Hey, you might be asking me for a social media campaign, but since this is a local environment, don't you want a sign? Don't you want a poster? Mm-hmm. You know, what about an emailer to go afterwards, right? Because not every one of your customers are going to be on social, right? So again, are you looking for a fixed price with, you know, a fixed set of deliverables and nothing more?
Right.
Or are you, you know, do you realize that this project could grow?
Right.
And if that's the case, do you have the budget for it?
Exactly.
Okay. So that's expectations. Absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah.
That one's a big one. That one actually kind of falls more over to my last one, which is commitment. Okay. Because that commitment one is like, is where I need them to understand, you know, do you understand that there is going to be a fixed scope or something? So it's probably a little bit, you know, expectations, commitment, right? But, you know, ultimately, I want them to get to the point where if they realize, you know, this ballpark is kind of what I want.
Right.
Are you willing to start today?
Right.
Right. Are you willing to commit? Right. So if they're looking for a fixed price, they're probably shopping it around.
Yes.
If they're realistic and realizing, you know, this could grow. So give me a ballpark.
Right.
Okay. If I'm in your range, are you ready to start today?
Right.
Right. What are you looking for to make this start? Okay. And that comes to the commitment part, right?
Yeah,
because again, I always want to know, what is it going to take to start?
Yeah.
Because I hate people who shop around.
Yeah, I know.
And
the tire kickers. It's like, and those are the ones with the fixed price, right?
Generally, right? Because they're looking for the cheapest price.
That's right. So you know they've gone somewhere else already.
And they're price checking.
And they're price checking as to what they're going to get.
And you can never win that game.
Yeah,
you
that's
can't,
true.
That's, right?
That's impossible.
And they will nickel and dime you for everything, and
right off the bat, that's the kind of customer that will drain you of every possible
they're so not looking for a relationship for long term.
They're just looking for the best.
So
the ballparkers are like, hey, this could be a potential thing. I might have extra money here.
I might have extra work. I might need more.
Yeah, exactly.
I get that.
Interesting.
And if I need more, I will pay for it, right? So this is that whole commitment because they're not looking for a one-night stand.
Right.
They're looking for a long-term.
Thank you for making it about sex because now I understand.
I can see Sean glaze over for a little bit.
Wait a minute. How do I get this a man-woman kind of style? Oh, I get it now.
Right.
It's a date.
That's right. Seriously, these are the kind of things you need to suss out, right?
Yeah,
and then, of course, last but not least, in that whole commitment thing, right? This is the final test, right? This is I don't even want to go there, you know.
I know where it is.
You know where I'm going now, with this.
That's right. Yeah.
But if you understand the scope and you're good with the whole ballpark idea, and if you're ready to commit, are you willing to give us a deposit to start working? Okay.
Cool.
And that is the ultimate sign of commitment, right? Because sometimes people are like, no.
First base.
Well, yes, first base. That is first base when it comes to the project. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How did you turn that into sex?
It's just a gift to have.
But I mean, again, if everything's checking out, if all signs point to yes, Mm-hmm. Are you ready to give a deposit?
Yeah.
If I invoice you after this meeting, if I invoice you tomorrow morning, will you be ready to, you know, can you do this?
Yeah.
Right. Because again, you need to let them know that, you know, obviously commitment, you know, requires a deposit.
Yeah.
Right. And again, and then I'll start working on the deposit, but yeah, don't expect me to start working on a whim.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. And I have been screwed a couple times accidentally due to me, because it's like, they'll be like, yeah, I'll give you a deposit. No problem.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's like, good. We start the project. I'm like, you know what? He said he's good for the deposit.
Yeah.
I'll send it next week. I'll, and again, what happens a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the next thing I know, it's like, I'm not sending an invoice just for the initial deposit. I'm sending
a full ride.
Right. Yeah. And again, but I've been screwed out of that too.
Oh, I see.
I have been screwed. So
no working on the project until that.
I wouldn't recommend that, but that's easier said than done.
I was just going to say, if it's a real
it's one of those scenarios that if everything checks out and they're like, yeah, send me the invoice and I'll start processing right away.
Yeah.
You send them that invoice, you start working, but you only take it to as much as you're willing to lose
before getting that deposit.
So if you're like, you know what, I'm only going to take it to, you know, 5 hours, 3 hours. Right. And if I don't get anything from them, screw it.
Then it's done. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So that's, you know, you have to be willing to give just enough that you're willing to lose if they do screw you on the deposit. Right. If everything else, though, looks good, there's a good chance that they're not going to screw you on that little detail there.
If you've done your homework all the way through, like gone through this checklist,
absolutely.
Chances are you're going to be in a good spot with this person and you're going to get paid. Mm. So, which is good. Yeah. Yeah. That's wow.
So that's the shit that I will always go through when I'm talking to people. And I'll always fit every one of those in that conversation.
Yeah.
And generally through that conversation, I'll know, are they for me? Yeah. Are they for somebody else? If they are for me, great. How serious are you? Fuck, you're really serious? Are you willing to actually put, you know, a deposit on that? So if I'm going to start working, I'm really fucking busy. Mm. I've got a lot of customers, but this fit is good. This project is perfect. Yeah. I know I can kill this for you.
Yeah.
Are you willing to, you know, sign, seal, so I can deliver this?
Right.
If that's the case, I need a deposit.
Yep.
And they shouldn't say no for this. They shouldn't say no.
There's money in the law earmarked for this. Yep. You know it because they're talking to you. So
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
This should not be a problem. If they
shouldn't,
right? Yeah.
You're absolutely right. There shouldn't be anything, you know, anything at all that you, they should just continue on with this project.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
However, nice. There's always some red flags to watch out for.
Oh,
and so that's we did. We got 15 red flags that we're going to, you know, that's how 15. We're going to finish this up. 15 friggin' red flags, for things to watch out for, right? Okay. Like, number one, you know, lack of clarity on the project.
Right.
Okay. Why are they calling you? Are they just baiting people? Mm. Are they just fishing right now to see what things are going to price out? Are they just trying to get a price from you so they can go online and get it cheaper? Right. And I hate that. That's why I never get priced. People, how much would a website cost?
Yeah.
I don't know. Tell me.
Yeah, yeah. What's your website?
Yeah.
What's involved with it?
Based on that question, I can give you a price. So I usually annoy people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it can cost as little as $500, and it can go as much as $500,000.
Exactly.
Does that answer your question?
There you go.
Because that's a stupid question to ask.
It's not a widget.
No.
There's variables.
There's a process. So if somebody is just asking, if they have a lack of clarity, if they don't have any details, any timelines, what they're looking for, why they're looking for, huge, huge red flag.
Yeah, big time.
Unless they're just looking for an agency and they're looking to bring in somebody else, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But man, even that, I've been pinched before when people have been shopping around agencies. and it's just, that's ridiculous. Or number two, unrealistic fucking expectations.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Yeah. Because if they set an unrealistic expectation, okay, and you miss it by an hour or half a day or a day, you know you're not getting paid. You know they're going to be jamming you on this, right? If they don't have an idea of what it takes to get a project to the finish line, they're just looking for somebody to blame.
That's right.
And so it's much easier to just tell them, you know what, I'm sorry, that timeline, no.
Yep.
Can't happen. Then if they're legit and they're like, oh, I know it's tight, what can you deliver by that?
Right.
All of a sudden, they're looking for help. Okay. Yeah, and that's that whole...
The dynamic changes there.
Exactly. Right. So all of a sudden, if it's what can you deliver by that timeline and they meet all the other qualifications that we talked about.
Yeah.
Hey, then there's something here.
Yeah, we can work with this.
Dude, I had somebody that was like, you know, I need a website 24 hours, absolutely needs to get done, and price is not an object. I'm like, Bullshit.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I said, you know what? I want a check, you know, cashier's check tomorrow, you know, $5,000. Yeah, yeah. Right. Otherwise, I'm not even going to start this.
I'm not even going to look at it. Yeah.
Do you think it came by with a $5,000?
No, hell no.
Fuck no. And I was that simple. I was like, can you do it? I was like, yes. Are you willing to pay for
yes.
it?
Yes.
Assholes. I hate those people. And sure enough, that specific person who threw this out there was like, they had the worst reputation for screwing over their contractors, for like holding out on payment, not paying people. Oh. That's how they made all their money. And I was like, I'm not getting caught on this.
Yeah.
You show up, you know, with $5,000 yep. right there.
Right in your
hand. I'm not even going to start. Yeah. They didn't show up. Jerks. See, but I mean, they would have promised anything if somebody was willing to give them terms.
Totally.
And they probably would have been the people that would have been like, yeah, send me a deposit. I'll send you the deposit invoice. I'll process it. But we have to get it by tomorrow night. We have to. So they will jam you and then screw you in the end.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Another big red flag, if they're reluctant to sign a quote, an SOW, a contract, if they don't want to put their name in anything, commit. Because again, you commit, you put that invoice out there. It's a legal contract.
Yep.
You have leverage. If they aren't willing to do that, huge red flag.
Big time.
Massive red flag, another big red flag that I hate, haggling. Excessively haggling. This is a professional business.
Yeah.
And if they're haggling, you know, give me this, give me that, whatever. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a quality product?
Yeah.
Are you looking for a relationship? Or are you just looking for the cheapest fucking person to get something done?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Huge red flag.
Yeah, that's one. That's a big one. And that's sometimes, I think, there's some people are like competitive hagglers. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Just to do it. They don't even need to. But they got the money. You know what I mean?
You know what they have? They have the money, but they don't have the reach. What is deep pockets, but short arms. Short arms. They can't reach into the bottom parts of that pocket. No, dude. I refuse to work with people because for them, it's about the price. It's not about the job or the quality of it, right?
You
don't want those people. Pass that off to Fiverr.
Get rid of that.
Sooner or later, they're getting that anyway, honestly. Another huge red flag, huge, massive. If they ask for spec work or they ask, you know, just show me what you can do. Okay, I'm testing out a couple people, you know. You give me your concept. And if it's your concept, then I will pay you. Like, no, I can't handle, you know, we don't do spec work, period.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody wants our ideas. They're paying for them. Yeah. I don't care if it's legitimate, full-fledged ideas, or they just want us to conceptualize some stuff. They are paying for our time.
Yeah.
So if somebody's saying they want spec work, absolutely not. I refuse to do spec work and I don't care. I don't care. Even for campaigns, even for RFPs, we don't do RFPs here at Zed Factor. We haven't done an RFP. Shit, 22 years? I think I did one when I started, and it was the best. I'm telling you, there was this initiative. It was, you know, geared towards students and universities.
Oh.
At that time, remember when we were above the garage?
Yeah.
Or above the loot shop?
You were right close, right in the
thick of it. We were right in the middle of universities. We had universities on, you know, either side of our business. We were of university age.
Yeah.
We partied with students. Okay. Back then, we were young enough to date them. So we were right in that scene.
Yeah.
And we had all the expertise. We had the ability. We had the price point. We were everything. Yeah. Nothing. They didn't even give us the dignity of saying why we didn't get it. They didn't even tell us nothing. So it was just
really?
And I hand delivered that, and it was the coolest. I saw the other ones. They're just brown envelopes.
Yeah, and ours
was just
tricked it out. It was like,
dude, how can you not? It just So I refused to do RFPs. But again, refused to do RFPs, and I refused to do spec work. So and I don't think anybody should demean themselves and give themselves free ideas. You know, like no, absolutely not.
You wouldn't ask the guys next door to rough you out of cabinets for the a kitchen, right?
That's so true.
Like Jesus, who expects this stuff?
Could you mind just, you know, mocking up a kitchen for me?
Put my kitchen together like this and I'll see if I'll pay for it if I like it. But no, why would anybody do that? Jeez. And the work that you do should be the reference point for people, right?
Absolutely, no? It should, right? Absolutely. Yeah. You've got a portfolio of work. Mm-hmm. They're coming to you for a reason.
Yes.
Do they just pick up the yellow pages and just point at a number?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no. No, forget it.
Yeah. Absolutely no specs.
Poor communication. Mm. That's a huge red flag, yeah, right?
That's bad.
People who can't communicate, they're like, they tell you they're going to call you. They don't call you. They tell you they're going to email you. They don't even understand how to work email.
They're going to promise you stuff, collateral that you need at this time.
And you don't get that.
And they fucking ghost you. Yeah.
Right. No, because in the end, ultimately, and I hate this saying, but it's so true. It's always the agency's fault as far as the customer is concerned.
Oh boy. How many times have we been under that bus, Moss?
Right. And again, no matter what you do. It's not fun
down there.
Yeah, I know it's not, right? And again, so no matter what, even if they're late, even if they don't deliver you what they're supposed to or give you what they want to or answer the questions you need, they're still going to blame you you are responsible for that outcome product.
Yep.
So if they can't communicate, if they're poor communicators, dude, forget it. Like, just stay the hell away from these people.
Because you know that's trouble down the line.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Another red flag, negative attitudes or they're disrespectful. And not just to you.
Oh.
Okay. Because generally, your first meeting, they're generally pretty nice to you.
Yeah. Everybody's on their best behavior. Yeah.
But, you know, negative attitude towards other vendors, other people, other artists, right?
Oh.
Disrespectful to their own employees or their kid or their wife or spouse or whoever is in front of them, right?
Right.
These are all true stories. That's why I'm pulling these people out because it's legit.
Oh my God.
If during these conversations, you're getting this vibe, they're slamming this, they talk bad about their competitor, dude, that's a sign, there's this negativity and it's going to come back to you. Mm. It is absolute. It's like, you know, you've got that one friend that's always gossiping. They're always telling you about everybody else's life.
Yeah.
Do you really believe they're not saying the same shit about your life? Yeah,
totally. Totally. Yep. Absolutely.
No. Absolutely. Stay away from that big red flag.
Yeah, it's huge.
The most obvious red flag, reviews. Right? Everybody now is on Google.
Oh.
Right? Everybody's, there's a bad review about anything. Mm. You know, Glassdoor, Google. What was that other one? The restaurant one that was everywhere.
Yelp.
Whatever. Yeah. Right. Again, it's easy to find dirt on people, right? So, and again, not that you want to find dirt, but there's some really obvious areas that you need to look.
Yeah.
So again, head over to that and find out anything about bad reviews, right? About them. Super obvious. That almost should be the first place you go to, right?
Yeah.
And then there's some obvious ones like, scope creep. If all of a sudden they're telling you, they need an ad, and then during the conversation, it's like, we also need this. Oh, yeah, and social. Did I forget? If they keep forgetting to tell you about the extra items in this project, that's going to come in the end project. Like once you deliver, I also need this. Oh, I also, and because, you've scoped out and you've quoted something out and you've given them a price. No. You can't change your price, but they can change the deliverables.
Yes, right. What if that's part of the land and expand thing that we're talking about? If this is that something completely different then?
Land and expand is completely different in the sense of, we say that once we have a customer,
then
we get in there and then you work it out. But don't forget, this is about vetting customers.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So that might, you could look at that as like future growth potential.
That's what I was thinking. Like, is there something,
But again, that shouldn't change that initial project that they're introducing you for, right? That you're vetting that customer for.
Right. And you're saying that they're asking for more on top of
Tell you the project is this,
yes,
but the scope keeps creeping and creeping and creeping. Exactly. Right?
Instead of you saying pump the brakes, that's a different project altogether.
Exactly.
Yes.
And oftentimes, what happens is, you'll create something for social. And it's like, oh, well, you know what? It's already done. Just put it in for a postcard concept.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Oh, it's already done. Now you can take that postcard and put it on an 8.5 by 11. Oh, hey, need it for Facebook too. All of a sudden, it keeps going and going. Yeah,
exactly.
Let me tell you, that's a slippery slope.
Big time.
You try to be nice,
and
they will take advantage of it.
Ooh.
They absolutely will. Yeah. So again, keep it professional, of course, right?
Yeah.
Financial red flags. Mm. If all of a sudden they avoid conversations about payment, they avoid conversations about deposit, you should know, plain and simple, how you're going to get your deposit. Is it a check? Is it, Visa based on your online payment portal?
Yeah.
Right? Give me cash today. Yeah. Give me an answer, right?
Yeah. Carrier pigeon. We'll take that.
Absolutely, right? Or, you know, if they're like, oh, you know what, though? I can't. I need 45 days to pay you. It's our process here. I'm sorry. 45. No. Yeah. And my process is to start the project on payment. So we're not meeting at the same place.
Right. Oh, there you go.
Absolutely. You go. It is, right? So if they need to be just as respectful to you as you are to them.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
Ignoring your expertise. Huge red flag. Huge fucking. They're coming to you because you're the expert, not them.
Right.
But all of a sudden, if they're like, no, I've done this before. That doesn't work. This is what works. Let's do it like a sick. Okay. While there might be some truth in that,
yes,
you are still the expert. Otherwise, why are they coming to you?
Yeah.
If they want a different call to action, they want this, they want, ultimately in the end, fine when it comes to certain items, but they can't tell you how to do your job.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
You are the expert. And as soon as you lose that expert status, you lose your playing cards.
Yep.
Right? Yep. You completely lose your hand, your advantage. And that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've ditched clients because of that, right?
Oh my God.
People coming in the middle of a project going, this is not the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah, this is not how I did it.
Sorry, but no, that's unacceptable. That's
this is how we've been doing it. Yeah. This is how it was going to happen when it went live.
And it was going fine before you got here.
Right? Yeah, we were going to go live next week, so. A high-pressure tactic.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, and you don't think so, right? Oddly, we have one customer who does that. You know, my friend who just does a pop pie.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't fire this customer for the life of me. I'm like, no, we don't want, I can't do this work. We're not, come on, man. Come on. I need you to do, I'll pay more. And dude, I just raised his I raised his project by 50% just by saying no. And his high pressure tactic was for me not to fire him. Like, it's incredible. Like, it's just, it's incredible. I have no idea. But again, you know, in this case, I understand that he is who he is. Yes, but, you know, I have a relationship with this guy now for 5-6 years. So I can expect that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay? This is going to happen.
If somebody's pushing you into this and be like, no, come on, you can do it for this price. Come on, you can do it for this timeline. I know you can. Yeah. You know what? It's not nearly as bad as you think. It sounds bad, but it's not. It's really not. Because I'm only looking for the same image in all five places with different text on every image. And then maybe in one scenario, a different image because it's a different size.
It doesn't work that way.
It keeps going, right? Yes. So they're pressuring you. A high pressure tactic.
Yeah, yeah.
Bounce
out.
Huge, right?
Yeah. And that's a top of, not even, you haven't even started work yet.
Yeah, right.
And they're pressuring you like
big
that.
Big red flag.
Yeah,
big red
huge.
Flag.
That's huge.
A lack of enthusiasm or commitment. Right? Sometimes people are like, well, because you know what? If they're like, they're bringing you in and they're not enthusiastic about why they're bringing you in, then they're not serious about the actual project.
Oh, okay.
If they're like, yeah, you know what? I need an ad. And so I brought you in here to talk about this project.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, it's one thing if they're a low-key person.
Right.
And I get that. But even low-key people are enthusiastic through the questions that we ask, you know, about the project at hand.
Right.
You know, why they're doing it, what they want to do with it. If all of a sudden, if they just seem like they're at a 20 while you're at a 70, 80, trying to find out more about the project.
Yeah.
There's something up with that.
Interesting.
And often it's, you know, they're just fishing.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, they're just kind of like feeling out the market, right? They're testing the waters. Right. Sometimes they already have somebody, but they want to make sure that, you know, your quote is in line with what they're, there's so many weird things, right? Like if somebody needs something done, they're genuinely very enthusiastic to have somebody do this.
I was just going
to
say.
So lack of enthusiasm, huge red flag. You wouldn't realize it, but it's absolutely a huge red flag.
Does that happen quite often or no?
Well, not anymore to us.
I was just going to say, that would be a rarity nowadays because somebody's approaching you. They're serious about what it is they're doing. Right?
At this point, we're pretty fortunate at this point, right? Yeah. We can, but I do remember when we started, dude, and we were generalists and we were taking anybody and everybody just to, you know, pay the bills. Right. And we learned so much by doing that. Yes. And that's it. You learned how to suss out these people. You learn how to vet out these pricks.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Big red flag. Big red flag. Mm-hmm. Okay. The last two, the biggest ones. Mm. Okay.
Ooh.
If somebody over promises future work.
Oh, They dangle the carrot in front of you.
Fucking, it's one thing to promise future work. You know what?
Yeah.
This is just the initial project. Let's see if it works out and there's going to be more to come. Fine.
Yeah.
If somebody's like, oh, dude, you know what? I need you to go above and beyond on this one.
Yeah.
There's so much coming. You do
this. Yeah, yeah. Right? You get this. You get I swear. Yeah.
The shiny ring. It's true, dude. It is so true. If they overpromise and keep overpromise and stress it, dude, you're stressing it because you're desperate to get this initial job done at the rate you're willing to pay for the timeline that you need it for.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't buy into that.
They're cutting and run when they get what they're. No. What they, what
absolutely.
You give them.
Yeah. Nobody ever promises future work, right? Nobody, because they really, you think about it.
No, you're right.
Best relationships we have, they never promise. They come, they ask for projects, they're good. If it starts working and then you start landing an expense, then you realize there's then more it's work.
Like, oh, hey.
But somebody who's legit, you know, in the space, somebody who's a professional, you're not going to dangle that, right?
Yeah.
Scammers dangle that shit.
Scammers dangle that
seriously. And last but not least, okay, big red flag. My biggest red flag that I almost refuse to start most projects on is that they refuse to pay a deposit on a project.
Oh.
If they just outright, like,
that makes sense.
Well, a lot of people won't, right? Because they'll be like, you know what? It's only a 1 week. It's you'll be done by the time you invoice me and I process it. The job's going to be done. So what's up? No. You know, just like that guy. He was like, price is not an object. I need it in 24 hours, though.
Yeah, yeah.
My response was, you show up with $5,000.
Give me that certified check. Yes, and you will have your
job. No problem. I will do it in 24 hours. I will pull a freaking miracle out of my ass. As long as you show up. But if you don't show up, you're not getting anything.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Yeah.
Didn't show up.
Yeah, he wasn't there because he didn't have that money.
Because again, biggest red flag. Okay. Everybody, again, we're professionals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to be able to, and there's so many levels on this, right? If you're not going to pay a deposit, you're not respecting the person that you're hiring.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not putting enough importance on the project itself. So you don't really care about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's so many levels to this onion that you can peel back. So you know what? Biggest red flag, if they refuse to pay a deposit to start a project, okay, then don't even take the job.
Yeah.
Seriously, don't. It's I don't care if they're saying, you know what, it's a small project, you'll be done within 24 hours.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then let me invoice ahead of time.
Yeah, let's do the full pop then.
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
if it's going to be that easy.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, forget it.
Flag on the play.
Yeah. You know what? I kind of figured, you know, these are just telltale. And sometimes, you know, people may not realize these. They might want to believe them. Oh, I get it. It's hard to put it through business. They're a big company. Mm-hmm. It goes through many chains of command. Mm-hmm. No, you know what? Like, this is legit. Like, everything. Stop making excuses.
Yes.
And start taking these red flags serious.
Yes.
That's fine. Because I don't want anybody to get screwed this year. Yeah. I mean, it's inevitable. Designers are going to get screwed in 2024. This happens, unfortunately. If they're listening to our show, they won't.
That's right.
Because I'm giving them red flags, which is a perfect opportunity to refer us to all your friends who need a good graphic design podcast to listen to.
That's right.
But on our watch, I don't want any angry designer to get screwed this year.
This because
again, follow these red flags, right? Figure out, you know, why you're vetting customers for yourself, for, you know, the project, for your company. And dude, like, it'll be a great year. It'll be a great year.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of things in here that, you know, you're going to be tempted by this kind of stuff.
Oh my God, you're always tempted.
It's like you were when you were young, you know?
100%.
But these things, you know, they have a darker side to them, and it's not worth
it's the time and effort
that you're the defeat that you're gonna see with some of these buttholes, right? No,
yeah, that's true, right?
So yeah, it's
douches.
Douchebags. That was awesome. That was so eye-opening. Holy crap.
Well, I mean, again, this is what, you know, I figured this is a good starting point for the new year.
Yeah, totally.
Because I don't want anybody to get screwed this year.
No, nobody
and,
wants
you know,
that.
It's funny, sometimes these are small things that, you know, we take for granted. Yeah, we definitely do.
Yes. And we don't see that as much as we used to. Right?
Absolutely.
Which is kind of nice being at the spot.
Absolutely.
Being where we are.
But what I mean is I take for granted that, you know, like to me, this comes natural now. Because I've been through all
this. That's right. That's right.
And I don't necessarily, and maybe not everybody sees it this way.
Yeah, this is true.
At the very least, follow these red flags. Mm-hmm. And I think that you'll be able to dodge a hell of a lot of bullets this year.
Yep, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like you said, if somebody comes to you with a rush job and refuses to pay.
Something's up with that.
Something is wrong.
Something is up
with
that.
You know that's too good to be true.
Yeah, and often is.
Often is. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
All right. So listen, if you've made it to the end of the show,
yes.
You know, I want you guys to not only give us a really great review somewhere, but, you know, reach out to our website. Let us know, you know, what you want us to cover this year.
Yeah.
I don't think we're reaching out enough to people. You know, obviously, we're going to have some great interviews this year. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some fun stuff. We're going to be hitting some events this year. Yep. It's going to be a great year. 2024 is going to be huge for us.
It's going to be big.
Absolutely. But, you know, hit us up and let us know the topics that you want to hear.
Yep.
And I mean, again, we'll tell all.
Yeah.
We got nothing to hide at this point.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
I want every angry designer out there to succeed. Yep. You know, past where we did. Okay. Yes. Like, we've done this now for 25, 30 years. We've had a great run.
Totally.
And I still love this space.
Exactly. And but that's the thing, is when we were coming up, we didn't know any of this kind of
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, right?
So it's kind of nice to have somebody who's got your back.
People are so lucky these days. Yeah. Like, you have no idea.
I know.
But let us know what you want us to cover. Let us know if you want us to hear. Let us know who you want to hear from. Mm-hmm. And leave it to us, and then we'll do the rest.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Okay.
With that being said,
yes.
My name's Massimo.
My name is Sean.
Stay creative, everybody.
And stay angry.
Peace.